This past week, Marlou and I celebrated our second wedding anniversary. No response. We had two ceremonies. We had the private one, which was May 14th, and then, of course, we had it with you on June 30th, but we were legal on May 14th. 3 years ago, before that, we got engaged and we began planning our life together, our future, and I remember Bien Tarosa. He asked me this question. He said, "Are you prepared?" Now, Bien can make a lot of funny jokes and say some funny things, but in this case, he was serious, and he was right on. So when he said to me, "Are you prepared?" I said, "Kind of." When I look back, not really. I remember at the time I got busy, and fortunately, I owned a house in Altadena and had a tenant there, and before Marlou arrived, the tenant just moved out without me having to give notice or anything. And so I was thankful that Gary Wolverton helped me move back in. We cleaned out the shed. It was full of trash left by the former tenant. We trimmed bushes and did a lot of yard work. And he helped me carry furniture into the garage and out of the garage, I mean, into the house. That was the outside of the house. And then there's the inside. Well, I decided not to paint or not to put up any decorations. I was a minimalist. It was like a monastery in there. If I took some pictures before Marlou came and after, you would be amazed. But then again, maybe not. As a single person, the house looked like no one lived there. Not much furniture, not much decorations, hardly any plants, and all blank walls. Now, there are a lot of things hanging on the wall. No blank spaces. A lot more furniture, throw rugs, curtains, candlesticks. Before Marlou moved in, there were no candlesticks. Must be a woman thing. I had candles, the kind that you get at Christmas Eve service, you know, you bring it home. That's about the only candles I had in there. And now there are pillows. Many pillows. Before Marlou, there was one pillow in the house for my head, and that was it. Now on the bed, there are five pillows. On the couch, there are three pillows. As one comedian said, we could have a pillow show in our house. There are clocks in every room, plants all over the porch, more lamps and baskets. Was I prepared? No way. The good thing is, I didn't choose any colors. I didn't buy any furniture. I didn't pick any styles before she came. Pretty proud of that. I made a good call there. During the next month and a half, we will be trying to prepare for a new minister. What can we do to prepare the way? One biblical example that we can draw from is Isaiah 40, which was read this morning. Normally, this passage is read right before Advent, when they're expecting Jesus to be born. But I've also read it at funerals and memorial services. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Her war has ended, her penalty has been paid, and she's receiving from the Lord's hand. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough places plain, for the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh will see it together." And a voice says, "Cry out." And I say, "What shall I cry out?" All flesh is grass. And it's like the flowers of the field, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so in John and Matthew, John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. He quotes Isaiah 40, saying to them and trying to make the connection that, you know, what was written some thousands of years ago is now here. Jesus is here. Your Messiah, your King is here. And for your situation, we are preparing for God to do a new thing, for God to bring you a new leader, for God to give you a new pastor. And so I borrow from the images of Isaiah and John the Baptist, making smooth the path, the valleys to be lifted up and the mountains made low and the rough places plain, or as Handel's Messiah says, to make the crooked straight. Of course, this is all symbolic language and metaphors for the physical and the spiritual state of being. But we ask ourselves, what are the rough places in the rocky paths in our church? What are the low valleys? What are the high mountains? What are the crooked places that need straightening? One of the difficulties of the past few years that we've had, one of the rough places has been our finances. We've had difficult questions. We've had deficits about the loan, about the organ. And we had to sell the parsonage to make sure we had enough to cover the remaining contract of the organ. And so far, the only decision is the use of the funds for the organ, but we can't use it for the general budget or programming. We haven't decided how we're going to use that. And that's kind of a rough space, rough path. And because of the timing of everything, we have to wait for your new leader to help you smooth that out. Yet we are pleased to report that during the first half of the year, the finances to the general budget have been pretty good, better than expected. For a while, we weren't sure if we could retain our choir section leader soloist. For a while, we didn't know if we were going to have a youth director, and a pleased to report that we will retain them through the end of the year. And then that, when that time comes, we will make a new budget. But how can we keep that path straight? How can we keep that smooth in preparations for the new minister? Well, we can keep giving. We can keep supporting financially. We can continue to be generous. And we can trust that the leadership decision that has been made with your new pastor is the right one. What other difficulties have we encountered? What are those valleys that is being talked about? And what are the hills and the mountains? Maybe one way to look at it is to think about the three services, the worship services that we have. The valleys are probably the first service and the third service. Have they received enough support? Have they been attended consistently? Probably not. They haven't been lifted up. On the other hand, what are the mountains? What are the hills? Well, maybe it's this service, the middle service. Last Sunday, we took in 7 new members. And as I look around, I see new attenders. And this second service is increasing, it's growing, it's reaching higher and gaining, not by great leaps and bounds, but gradually improving and increasing. So the biblical image then, that the valley shall be lifted up and the hill and mountain be made low, what is implied is that there's some kind of leveling or some kind of equalizing, some kind of meeting in between. The lower brought up and boosted, and the higher brought down and humbled. What does that mean? Equalizing, does that mean numbers? In taking that illustration literally, can we really lift up a valley? Can we really bring down a mountain? If we're talking just pure geography and landscape, the only way to lift up a valley is if to put more dirt in it, to put more stuff in it, to fill it up, piling something in there. In the same way, a mountain can't be lowered unless you put dynamite to it, unless you start grading it, unless you start bulldozing. A mountain cannot be lowered without leveling or destroying it. So what does it mean then in the scripture if we apply it to ourselves in our church? The metaphor, the symbolic language is not literal, but it has to do more in terms of attitude, in terms of value, in terms of worth, in terms of honor. How do we raise up the valley and lower the hill, the mountain, in our affection, in our respect of each other? You know, it will take a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit to bring the opposite ends together. So as we prepare for a new pastor to examine this condition, situation, to realize, to make the adjustment, the attitude adjustment, and to say, we need to value each other and give fair worth and honor. Not to criticize, not to cast aspersions, but to ask, how can we be supportive? How can we be helpful to each other? A third way that we can prepare for the new pastor is what it says in Matthew 3, 2. Remember, before John the Baptist was quoting all this, he said this. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." In the previous sermons, the Greek word I've used referred to for repent is metanoia, which means like you're going in a certain direction, and then metanoia means to turn around and go in a different direction, the opposite direction. So if we are misdirected in our attitudes towards the church, or misdirected in our attitudes towards the pastor, or misdirected in our attitudes towards each other, it's time to turn around and start changing individually. And we can ask ourselves, how can we support this new pastor? How can we support the church differently? How can we support each other instead of criticizing or attacking or judging? How can we talk about building someone up in a positive light instead of pointing out, oh, there, look at that fault, or look at that failure, or look at that weakness? How can we improve ourselves and repent of that which is hurtful, that which is harmful, that which is detrimental? How can we reach out to this new pastor? How can we be more proactive? I know a lot of times in terms of relationships, we wait for the other person to act first. But how about us making the first attempt to the new pastor? Last week, Marlu and I attended a transition workshop for 2 days, and the leader was the district superintendent, Cedric Bridgeforth, from the north. And he described the relationship between the United Methodist Church and their pastor in this way. He says that you folks are an arranged marriage. If you think about that, that's true. There isn't any dating period. You don't get to choose your own pastor, but the superintendent with the bishop assigns you a pastor, and so it's an arranged marriage. And how do you make that marriage work? If you think about your own marriages, think about how do you make that work. What I discovered in Marlu and my marriage is that to help make things smoother and to help strengthen the bond is to be interested in what the other person is interested in. All of a sudden, I'm interested in decorating houses. I'm interested in her colors. I'm interested in her flavors and her styles. And there's conversation and there's dialogue. There's compromise. I'm suddenly interested in thrift stores. I never used to be. But now when I'm driving down the road, yard sale, aha. And I'm just as interested in getting that bargain as she is. In fact, a little more competitive. Is Marlou interested in football now? Not quite, but we're working on it. She knows what a Super Bowl is. When your new pastor comes, take an interest in what she's interested in. And I'm sure she will be interested in what you're interested in, and learning about you and how to best serve you and how to challenge you and how to help you. Give her a lot of grace, give her patience, and be open-minded. When John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," when he saw that his successor was coming, he stepped back. He stepped aside, and there was a shift. And in the same way, Marlou and I will be stepping back, we'll be stepping aside and encouraging you to receive the new. And when this happens, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all shall see it together, and you'll be on a new path. You'll be on a new direction, a new hope, a new marriage. And that is what we can look forward to. Amen.